Mr. Elliot Freeman. Hey, Elliot, how are you?
I got to tell you, if you went 16-0 yesterday, you should be the insider.
Yeah.
No, he did. I've seen the picture of his bracket.
You know, like ESPN, of all their brackets, after the Yale Little Rock victories, I think only 1% were still perfect.
0.1. Now, as it sits this morning, it is, I believe, 0.1. It's 1.1 or 0.1. I have a harder time believing it's 0.1. It's probably more like 1.1.
That's pretty amazing, man. I tipped my hat. And we can call now, what did you say, Georgia, 4,700 since they last lifted the cup?
47,500 regular season and playoff games.
Well, we could call it the chase for 50,000.
It's not bad.
Listen, I want to get to my bracket with you later on, and I know you probably do as well.
I don't do it anymore.
You don't do a bracket?
I didn't fill one out. I can't be one of those people who does it for the hell of it. I got to do it properly, and I just don't watch it as closely as I used to really make proper picks.
But Elliot, I think I'm proving I'm a living proof. I'm just a man among men in this bracket game, but I'm living proof because I did it literally in 5 minutes.
I think you sell yourself short. You're not a man among men. You're a giant among men.
Well, perfect would dictate that, right? If you get a perfect bracket. But no, seriously, that's what's got to be crazy. Like, some people watch them. I was listening to someone the other day watch 12,000, like, between them and this group of people that decided the NCAA brackets, 12,000 college basketball games. I watched a grand total of zero, and I have a perfect bracket after the first round. I did it in 5 minutes with a Sharpie. So, like, it's just, and all it is I heard Little Rock had a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
Also heard Wichita was a bit of a sleeper, and Yale was favored to win despite that being a 12-5. So, you know, there you go. It's just weirdness, right? It's just this kind of weird game that you play with yourself. And I imagine a lot of people that watch a lot of college basketball don't do the bracket because they're doing it based on solid numbers, but there are no solid numbers when it comes to this thing.
Dean, if you don't take more credit for things you really didn't do, you will never go far in this business.
That's true. I am good.
By the way, find out how Madani, the resident college basketball expert, did, and then just rub it in his face.
Can we call him? Can we get a hold of him before we leave this morning? Is that a chance? Do you have Arash's phone number? We'll see if we can get a hold of him.
I do, but you've annoyed me all morning, so
that's
chances of that happening.
That's because you took Baylor, right?
Just this morning?
I took Purdue.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, did you guys see the Baylor guy, Prince, at the podium?
Yeah, we played that clip.
Wasn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
I have living nightmares of being on the receiving end of clips like that.
What happened? How'd you get it rebounded? They went up, grabbed it with two hands, and came down with it more than we did, and that's called a rebound.
You know what? If the guy was sharp, you know what his follow-up question should have been?
What's that?
How did you get outscored by Yale? And just see what the answer would have been.
Right.
Well, if that was his first answer, the second one would have been good, too. listen, thanks for doing this. Leafs lose to the Panthers. You worked the game last night. Now, Ryan Favreau positioned this question. He said, make sure you ask him, was that the first or second best Leaf game you've seen all season?
There was a time this year.
Where does that rank?
I'll tell you what the worst ones were. There was a time this year, and they've had a great year, but when they really slow games down, Carolina. I did two Carolina games, one against Edmonton and one against Toronto, where both games were 0-0 going into overtime. Those were the two this year that I looked at and said, oh, my goodness, those are tough.
Yeah. Well, I bet they are, right? Like, because you got to sit and break this down, and really, it's probably the last thing you want to do because we get it. It's by the end of it, it'd be 82 games of we get it, we know what's going on, and there's nothing motivating to watch, really.
No, and you know, it really tests your skill as a salesman. Say, all right, here's what you know you're looking for tonight. I mean, the one thing last night was I really wanted to see Connor Brown. Like that's a guy I've been looking forward to seeing for a while now. And the reason is, you know, he put up video game numbers in junior, and people were saying, this guy will never play. And so the Leafs drafted him, and two summers ago, I had a chance to talk to Dave Donis, and I asked, you know, is this guy going to play? And he said, he's going to play, but it's going to take him 3 years. And then late last year, before he was let go, I asked Donis again, you know, has Connor Brown sped up the timeline or anything? And he said he absolutely has, and he will play games next year. And he said, when we drafted him, I never could have imagined it would have been this quick, but he is going to play next year. And he did. And, you know, he didn't get a, obviously he didn't, you know, get a point last night or his first NHL goal. But what he did do was, you know, he was out there. He was competitive. He played hard on guys. There was a shift against Jágr. He didn't look intimidated. You know, I'm looking at this right now, and you're trying to imagine, okay, what's the best case scenario for Toronto? And they got a lot of skilled guys who aren't very big, or they play hard, but they're not necessarily the strongest guys in the world. And I'm just wondering, you know, how many of these guys can play for a team at once in this day and age in the NHL? And I'm very curious to find out the answer, because even Brown, Nylander, you know, Kapanen looked not bad. You're hoping Marner's going to add to the list. You know, how many of these guys who maybe aren't the biggest guys can you play with and win with today in the league? And I'm curious to see the answer.
Was there any surprise or any doubt to you that Nylander would stay the 10 games? You kind of got the clue that Hyman, specifically the way Babcock talked about him,
yeah,
said they're ready, they're big time, they're great players. Were you surprised that Nylander was with the team past his 10 games last thing?
No, and the reason is that there's a general shift right now. A lot of teams will tell you that the 10 games don't scare them as much as the 40. And for people who are unfamiliar, 10 games burns your first year of your contract. But 40, if you're on the roster, it's not just playing 40 games, it's you're on the roster for 40 games by a team, you gain a year towards salary arbitration and unrestricted free agency. And that's the one that teams don't like as much. You know, one of the guys who's a capologist explained to me that if you're a cap team, you don't necessarily mind burning the 10 games because it gets you out of the bonuses. If a guy reaches his bonuses and they have to be carried over to next year's salary cap, it can wreak havoc with your system if you're a cap team. So there are some teams out there who look at it and say, you know, if you've got a guy like Nylander who can start hitting his bonuses in years 2 and 3, you don't mind taking him past the 10th game if he earns it.
Elliot, we've seen Phil Kessel playing a lot better since Evgeny Malkin's back for the Penguins, and they're in a dogfight to make it into the playoffs. If they somehow miss the playoffs, or if it's an early exit for the Pittsburgh Penguins, what happens to them this offseason?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's a great question because we're all kind of wondering that. My son's not happy I'm talking while Yo Gabba Gabba is on. Excuse
all right.
me for a second.
That's all right.
Get out, Dad.
Yeah, I'm going to get out of the
He room. Really wants Sid to make a deep run into the playoffs this year,
well,
too.
I do think there's a lot going on and there, and I do think that, you know, jobs are on the line. I mean, it's a team that's for sale. They started to play really well. You know, they fell down 2-0 last night, and Crosby kind of took over the game. You know, he could end up with 40 goals, considering, and if you think of the way we were talking about him earlier in the year. But I do think there's going to be major changes there if they flame out early. Now, the one thing there is that the coach has kind of stabilized things. Sullivan's done a good job, so we'll see. I don't necessarily think major changes means trading one of your top players, but I just think it's also an organization that at the top doesn't tolerate losing very well. And, you know, they've made a lot of changes because of that. I think it's a bit volatile there because they are trying to sell it and they haven't had success. So it's one of those teams, George, where if they don't go past the first round, and even if they don't go past the second round, you're always looking at them and saying, okay, where's the hammer coming down here? Because it's been like that for the last 5 or 6 years.
Hmm. Elliot Friedman, our guest at Friedge, HNIC. Elliot, of course, our NHL insider from McAlpine, Lincoln, and Aurora. Elliot, it was interesting. I know you're at the general manager's meetings, and you hustle back on Wednesday for Wednesday night Scotiabank hockey. And then and Nick, you and Nick and Darren were talking about expansion.
Yep.
Nick alluded to the fact that he did speak with the general manager, and he said expansion is probably coming, so expect it within the year.
Yep.
But then Gary Bettman had this to say after the meetings, and I wanted to get your thoughts. Gary never says really anything concrete, which bothers me, but I wanted to get your thoughts on what Gary said.
We might not expand. It could be 2. It could be 1. We don't know yet. But if there's an expansion draft, the GMs will know that if the board votes for expansion. It's on a similar timetable. But as we've said all along, we wouldn't expand before the 17-18 season, which means if we're going to expand for 17-18, we've got to do something by June at the latest.
Pinning him down is very difficult, and I think as broadcasters and people in this business, you just would like an answer so you can try and figure the whole thing out. But what is your best guess as to what's going to happen with expansion from what you've heard?
Well, my best guess is I think they're going to go to Vegas. And I know the owner of Vegas, Bill Foley, has made it very clear privately that he wants to go for 17-18. He thinks if they wait another year, they're really going to lose the momentum. He's already kind of impatient as it is right now. So I do think they know that, and I think if they go to Vegas, they're going there for the 17-18 season. Now, you know, I thought if they were going to announce Vegas last year, I thought it was going to be while the awards were there. I'm going to move my prediction back a year. If they're going to Vegas for 17-18, they're going to do it while the awards are there this year. It's the perfect setup to do it, and I do think they will go. I think they'll add just the one team. Now, Nick said something on Wednesday night on the broadcast that really intrigued me. He said that he got the sense from talking to a couple of people that if they were going to expand into Canada, the preference would be to do it into Toronto and have sort of a Staples Center set up where there were three teams at the Air Canada Center. You know, that's been kind of talked about it in the past. I don't know if there's ever been any traction, but I found it curious that, you know, somebody was talking to Nick about that. That says to me that there is, that's something that they will consider somewhere down the road if it can be worked out. And maybe that's how you deal with Bell and Rogers. You say, okay, one of you gets one team, the other gets the other team, and you share the building. I know that the biggest concern about Quebec guys is this. When Winnipeg got the Thrashers, the price was $170 million. And at that time, the Canadian dollar was at par. And actually, the day they got it, Canadian dollar might have been slightly better than the States. You know, if you're going to make Quebec City work, are you going to make it work as a relocation somewhere down the road if they have to do it? Or are you going to make it work for an expansion team that's $700 million Canadian? And, you know, I know that Quebec people don't like to hear that, and I think it's very difficult for them to hear that. And I think as Canadians, we all want Quebec City to get a team. But I do know the number one question is, if they have to pay $700 million Canadian for a team, is it going to work?
So has the Canadian dollar basically screwed Quebec out of an expansion bid over the next...
Whatever concerns they may have, that's by far and away number one. And there was an interview that Brian Mulroney gave to a radio station out there. I think it was called FM 93 is the station. And, you know, he's the chairman of the board of Quebecor, which is bidding for the team. And if you see his quote, he basically comes right out and says that the dollar is going to cost us this one right here without saying it. So Mulroney's quote said to me, and Damien read it last week on the headline segment, Mulroney's quote said to me that they're kind of setting the table for everybody to know that that's what they're expecting.